It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Welcome to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Guardians Radio Network. Guardians Weekly is brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from downtown Cleveland's Progressive Field. Great weekend of baseball going on here with the Oakland Athletics in town. Day baseball on Saturday afternoon, a 4:10 first pitch, and Sunday, a morning game. It starts at 11:35 on Sunday morning to round out the series and the homestand. I'll look back at the week in review, and what a week it has been. Once the rain moved out, that forced another postponement on Monday night with Texas in town to open a homestand, the ninth postponement on the season. But it was made up as part of a doubleheader on Tuesday against Texas. And in Game 1, a solid effort for the Tribe all around as we begin in the third inning. The game was tied at 1, Owen Miller batting with a couple of men aboard.
Swung on, line drive, base hit into left field. That'll score Straw. Rosario coming home. Walker's throw to the plate. Head first slide, safe at the plate. Going to second on the throw is Owen Miller. And Cleveland has a 3-1 lead, and Owen Miller comes through again.
Next man up was Josh Naylor.
A swing and a line drive, base hit to right, near the line. That'll score Miller. Ball cut off in front of the track by Calhoun. Going to second with a stand-up double is Josh Naylor. And Cleveland has scored three this inning, and they now lead it 4-1. And Naylor is now hitting over 500 with men in scoring position.
On the mound, Cal Quantrill was solid as usual, and so was the defense behind him.
The pitch swung on. That's a gapper toward right center. On the run is Straw. He slides and made the catch. He's done it again. Tagging and going to third is Cole Calhoun. Scampering back to first is Sam Huff. And would look to be a gapper in right center. Well, Miles Straw just outruns the line drive again and went to a slide in right center to make another tremendous catch. Now the 1-1 pitch from Quantrill. Swung on, a broken band roller to short. Rosario to second one. Relay to first, they got him! And so a 6-4-3 twin killer. And Cal Quantrill gets out of the inning unscathed with a mammoth assist from Miles Straw.
Texas got back into it with a pair of solo home runs in the top half of the seventh, but then Eli Morgan shut down the Rangers in the eighth inning with Emmanuel Clase on for the save in the ninth.
Now the next offering, and Garver swings and misses. Ball game. And game one belongs to the Guardians as they get strong pitching from Cal Quantrill, and they ride a four-run third inning. 6-3 win over Texas here in the opener of this doubleheader.
Game two, same score, different result. Texas won that one by a score of 6-3, so a split of the doubleheader, and that sent us to Wednesday's series finale. Another wacky weather day in downtown Cleveland. 15 minutes late getting started, and more rain was on the way, but on the mound, Shane Bieber wasn't fazed one bit.
Now the 1-2 pitch. Waved at. He struck him out on a slider away. And Shane Bieber with an 11-pitch first inning gets a couple of strikeouts in the process. The Rangers go in order, and the Guardians are coming to bat.
In the bottom of the second inning, the Guardians got on the board with the hot-hitting Andrés Giménez at the plate.
The pitch. Swung and ripped toward the gap in deep right center. Eli Martin finally can't get one. Takes a bounce, jumps up against the wall. And in to score is Naylor. In to second with an RBI double is Andrés Giménez.
Austin Hedges drove in Giménez to make it 2-0. And then in the third, Jose Ramirez added to his RBI total.
The 1-0. Swung at and ripped into deep right center field. It'll one-hop the wall. Extra bases for Ramirez. In to score, Straw. Here comes Rosario. Throw, tag, out at the plate is Ahmed Rosario. Ramirez going to third. So it'll be an RBI double with Ramirez going to third on the throw to the plate. Rosario tried to score from first and was out at the plate. So give Jose Ramirez his 13th double and 54th RBI.
Josh Naylor followed with another big base hit.
Here's the 0-1 with the infield in, a shift to the right. And Naylor with a looping liner, base hit center field, 4-0 Cleveland. Ramirez will trot home, and Naylor a two-hit game, and he has RBI number 29.
So things were looking up for the Guardians, but down in terms of the weather forecast. They went to the fifth inning, and the Guardians were still on top 4-0, but the rain had started to fall, with Shane Bieber just two outs away from making it an official game. But once again, Mother Nature prevailed. It's a race against the elements right now. Bieber delivers, and there's a swing and a line drive to left. Deep, back on it is Kwan. He'll have to play it on one hop off the fence. On his way to second, holding there is Garcia. That's all he gets. On a single off the left field wall, off the bat of Lowe, who doesn't seem all that pleased. And now, here comes the tarp. So the umpire said that's enough. At 8:28, we will go into a delay. Two outs away from it being an official ball game if Texas did not come back to tie it or take the lead. And Bieber is red hot as he heads back down underneath the tunnel. The delay lasted nearly 2 hours, so Bieber's night was done. And when play resumed, Eli Morgan got the call to pick up where Bieber left off with two men on and one out in the fifth. And now Morgan will try and nail things down here in the top half of the fifth inning. Pickoff play at second, and they have Garcia way off the bag, and they got him. Well, you wonder how long that was being planned by Eli Morgan and Andrés Giménez, the second baseman, and Garcia was asleep at the wheel. He wasn't even close to getting back. Spun his wheels trying to get back, and he is picked off at second base. What a play by Morgan. And then Morgan went on to some more tremendous relief, followed up by Eniel De Los Santos and Brian Shaw. They kept the Rangers off the board, and in the ninth, Emmanuel Clase finished up the shutout.
The 0-1 pitch. Swung on, chopper by the mound. The second baseman charges. Giménez gloves, throws, ball game. And so Cleveland is back to 500, and they take the series against the Texas Rangers, and it's the second shutout of the campaign for this pitching staff. And this Cleveland pitching staff, now over the last 3 weeks, covering 21 games, has become one of the best pitching staffs in baseball, with an ERA of under 2.8. 4-0. Cleveland a winner tonight over the Texas Rangers.
So a series win against Texas. On came Oakland to town to start a new series on Thursday night. And the Athletics took the lead on a two-run home run by Christian Bethencourt in the second inning. But the Guardians came back in the fourth, starting with Jose Ramirez. Guardians trailing 2-0 as Jose Ramirez will lead things off. Bounced into a fielder's choice first time up. James Caprillion, the right-hander, delivers, and it's launched. High and deep to right. Home run, Jose Ramirez. The Guardians are on the board on home run number 15 from Jose Ramirez. And then it was Josh Naylor's turn. Here's the 0-1. Swung on, and there's a high fly ball to right center. This one's hit well. Way back there. Home run, Naylor! Back-to-back home runs, and this game is tied at 2. Naylor with home run number 7 on the season. Oakland, though, regained the lead with 2 runs in the 6th, but once again it didn't last, as in the bottom of the 6th, Oscar Gonzalez pulled the Guardians to within a run.
The pitch swung on, banged on the right, that's a base hit. Laureano's up with it. He'll throw toward the plate. Kwan scores sliding. It's a one-run game. And he's come through again. Oscar Gonzalez with a 3-hit game. Another opposite field single. This one to right. And it's a 4-3 ball game as Gonzalez with his 6th RBI.
In the 7th, Stephen Kwan continued to heat up at the plate.
Now the pitch. Swung on, a shot up the middle, base hit center field. Here comes Maley. Here comes Pache's throw to third, and it's high, diving into third safely. Is Straw, and Maley scores the tying run, and Kwan to second on the throw to third. Stephen Kwan is back, folks. This is the guy we saw in April.
Oscar Gonzalez and Owen Miller singled to begin the bottom of the 8th inning, and then Andres Jimenez put the Guardians on top.
Swung on, a little looping liner, base hit into left field. Mercado around third. He will score the go-ahead run. And Andres Jimenez, batting .432 with men in scoring position, comes through again.
And then Richie Palacios got the call as a pinch hitter in a key spot.
Here's the 1-2 delivery. Swung on, line to left, down the line. Fair ball! It'll roll to the corner. Jimenez will score. Clement flying around third will score. Palacios with a pinch hit two-run double. And Cleveland blows it open.
So a nice comeback win on Thursday night, but that paled in comparison to Friday night's game against Oakland for the Guardians as they pulled another one out of the hat. Things did not look good most of the night. Oakland got solo home runs in the first and second innings to take a 2-0 lead, and that stood until the 9th inning. But as always, the Guardians, well, they would do more on this night than just bring the tying run to the plate. That's been a trademark. In the bottom of the 9th, it was Jose Ramirez leading things off.
Shift employed to the right. Ramirez 2 doubles to left. The pitch. And he drives one to deep right center. There she goes! It's a one-run game. Jose Ramirez with his 16th homer, his 56th RBI.
Then Josh Naylor walked, followed by Oscar Gonzalez with a big double, and then Owen Miller came to the plate.
The pitch, a swing and a high drive into medium deep center. This will tie it up. Catch made by Pache. He'll throw to third. Tagging and scoring is Mercado. Everybody else stays put. And Owen Miller with another great at-bat. On a sac fly to center. We are tied at 2.
And then with the bases loaded, bottom of the 9th, tie game at 2, Luke Maley stood in.
And Maley, a swing and a high fly ball. Medium deep right. Laureano's there. He grabs it. Here's Gonzalez. The throw to the plate. Game is over. He scores standing. It was fairly close at the plate, and Gonzalez, for some reason, didn't slide. But it's still a celebration. Midway between home plate and first, and the Guardians with their second walk-off win of the year on Luke Maley's sacrifice fly to medium deep right.
What a wild night at the ballpark on Friday night. Stay with us. When we come back, we will visit with Andres Jimenez. That's next as we continue on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Progressive knows that most people don't get to experience making a game-winning touchdown or a walk-off home run. So we're going to talk to you like you did something great so you can bask in the glory.
Oh, man, I was there. That time that you bundled your home, auto, motorcycle, and other vehicles with Progressive? That was awesome. People were freaking out. I bet you get this all the time, but can I get an autograph?
If you can't bask in sports glory, at least you can bask in the glory of saving money when you bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and third-party insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Wells from the set, the 1-0 pitch, and it swung out and hit high and deep and way out of here to right. Andrés Giménez with a tape measure job that may have landed on Utah Street.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Andrés Giménez has had just a tremendous season, batting over 300 much of the year. As another hot stretch of the plate continues, we had a chance to catch up with him and talk about getting through those ups and downs as a hitter in a long season. And bear in mind, we do have some translation help along the way from our good buddy Augie Rivero.
Well, I think the consistency that we are putting every single day in the work before the game, I think that's a big key, you know, stay confident, stay trusting in what you're doing, your plan, and, you know, try to be consistent in all the aspects of the game.
And how important is it for you, if you do struggle for a game or two or a week, to stay with that plan and not veer from it too much?
You
have to really trust the process. You know, sometimes you don't get the results that you want, but you have to be trusting what you're doing is going to give you the results. Either it's a one game or two games or a week that you can get the results, but trusting the process is going to get you, following your routine is going to get you there.
Did it take you a long time as a professional player and now as a major leaguer to get to that point where you can trust that?
Sí, claro. Obviamente todo es un proceso de...
Yeah, it clearly has been a challenge. I don't feel I'm fully there, but like everything is a challenge, and you have to face it day to day and see how can you adjust and learn from it.
Andrés Giménez joining us along with Augie Rivero for some translation help. Andrés, you hit a couple of long home runs, a really long one on Saturday in Baltimore. It ends up on Utah Street, which is a big deal to them. Did you realize that was that big a deal and they would put kind of a paver down to signify how far it went?
No, la verdad no. Yo la verdad, bueno, después fue que terminó el juego.
In reality, I didn't know about it during the game. After the game, a lot of people from Venezuela started contacting me back and telling me what the importance of that. And the following day, some people from the team told me the importance and showed me the different plagues are in that area. And then I just did a little research and I realized how important that is. So I'm really excited that down in the future, my family will be able to see that plague of that particular AB.
And there are two plaques out there for Asdrubal Cabrera, a fellow countryman. I know you mentioned you had not met him until you had a chance to go to Major League camp with the Mets. And how helpful was he? And did he, at the time of the trade here, did he have anything to say about your time here and what it might be like?
Well, it's very important. We keep in contact every once in a while. And when I get ready, he just, you know, talk me about the good teams to play here in Cleveland, about the organization, about everything here. And it's been very helpful for me. And it was he helped me a lot on defense and all the aspect of the game, the short time that we got on spring training. So he's been helpful for me.
Andrés, thanks for coming by.
No problem. Thank you.
Augie, thank you as always.
Thank you, guys.
That's Andrés Giménez. Quite a season he has going for the Guardians. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll visit with Richie Palacios and Connor Pilkington. That's next on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network. Jim Rosenhaus back with you on Guardians Weekly. Thanks so much for joining us for Baseball Talk on the Radio. As we get you ready for baseball action on a Saturday afternoon with the Guardians taking on the Oakland Athletics at 4:10 on Aaron Civale bobblehead day here at the ballpark. Richie Palacios has been up and back a couple of times between Columbus and the big club. He's in his rookie major league season, and he has shown to be a real consistent hitter so far in his young major league career, hitting close to 300 most of the time he's been with the big club. Well, on Thursday night in the win over Oakland, he came through as a pinch hitter in the eighth inning with a two-run double that proved to be a key in a four-run uprising that led to the win. And when we visited with him on Friday, he talked about staying ready even when he's not in the starting lineup, so that when his name is called in those late game situations, he's good to go.
For me, it's just paying attention to the game, watching the relievers, studying them, knowing what they have, and then being able to watch the game and see how they're pitching the other guys. So when I have that all planned set up, it's I have a good chance at putting a good swing on it.
And the at-bat last night, you get to two strikes, and you could see you changed your approach a little bit. Explain how that works as you get deeper into an at-bat and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, with two strikes, I'm just trying to put the bat on the ball, put a good swing on it. Obviously, especially with runners in scoring position, we're trying to get those runners in if I get a good pitch. So for me, it's just being able to shorten up and get the next guy up.
And that inning just seemed to take off, and good things just kept on happening. What's it like on the field, in the dugout, as your teammates start to deliver and then you can be a part of that?
Yeah, we're all just pushing for each other. We're all confident. We know that we can score at any time, and especially even if we're down late or tie late, we know that we have the offense to score there. So we're just pushing each other to continue to have good at-bats, and when we have quality at-bats, good things happen.
And a lot of young players, a lot of maybe teammates formerly in the minor leagues, now teammates here. Does that make it a little more fun when it's familiar faces getting it done?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't matter who it is. It's always exciting for whoever's coming to success. But obviously, yeah, Quan and Gonzo, those are good friends. So, I mean, it's always good to see anyone succeed out there.
Richie Blasios joining us, Guardians outfielder. Richie, you've been up and back a little bit in the early season, and sometimes that's not easy, but you seem to have a real even keel to the way you go about things. And where does that come from, and how important is that as you're trying to make your way and be consistent up here?
I'm just trying to take advantage of each opportunity I get, wherever that is and whenever that is. So that's been my approach in my life and my career, just being able to be successful in whatever opportunity you get, and that helps me help the team win and whatever that may be. So I'm just excited to be here and excited to continue to do whatever I can to help the team win.
Oh, nice going last night in a tough spot. Not easy to pinch hit in a major league game, and you got it done. Thanks a lot for coming by.
Thank you, my guy. Appreciate it.
That's outfielder Richie Palacios, one of so many young players on this ball club. A slew of rookies have made their major league debuts, including Connor Pilkington on the mound, and he's now been in the rotation with the injury to Aaron Civale, and he's had back-to-back solid outings, battled through his most recent outing against Oakland on Thursday night, and he says he's feeling more confident with each start at the major league level.
I've been able to utilize my pitches a lot more in these past couple of outings. I figured out what kind of works best for me and what my strengths are. We work in day in, day out. I'm trying to, sharpen my pitches and stuff like that. But I think I found what my strengths are, and I'll be able to, take that with the other opponents' weaknesses. So,
and I know you had mentioned just trying to pound that strike zone and realizing that your stuff was good enough to play up here. How long did that take to realize that, hey, my stuff's good enough to get major league hitters out?
I just try to pound the strike zone at all time. I mean, nobody wants to go up there and try to throw balls, I try to pound the strike zone as much as I can while making competitive pitches, and, I just kind of, when the ball leaves my hand, I just kind of let it do what it needs to do. So,
when you look back at really since the winter time, and where you've come and what seems like a short period of time, have you had a chance to reflect on that and how quickly things seem to have happened here for you?
Yeah, I stayed ready throughout the offseason, and whenever, I got that text message or phone call, whenever the lockout ended, I was ready to go and ready to get back out there. But, yeah, I'm really happy with how things are going this year. And, like I said, I just kind of compete on the mound as best as I can. So,
Connor Pilkington joining us. And Connor, you had the good fortune to pitch your college ball at Mississippi State. And for folks up this way, there's major college baseball for sure. There's some really good programs in the state of Ohio. But I feel like that's one of those gems in the country of places to be able to play college baseball. And what is it about Mississippi State that really sets it apart and makes it special?
Well, the fans. The fans of Mississippi State are nonetheless, they are just absolutely incredible. The atmosphere that they create at Duty Noble Field is just one of a kind. Being fortunate to be able to play there for 3 years, just an amazing time that I had at Mississippi State. The fans make that place the way it is.
And you're the Friday night starter, so you're getting the big games throughout the conference schedule. And can you describe what a Friday night there is like? What when you take the mound, what that was like?
Oh, it's crazy. You know, that place, is, they pack it out all the time. I don't know how many fans we get an eye. I know it's a lot, but, you know, the place is kind of – it's big, but the fans are kind of on top of you at the same time. So, you know, everybody in the ballpark has your back, and with the atmosphere that they create, you know, it makes it a lot of fun being out there on the mound competing.
And as someone who grew up in this state, what did it mean to you to eventually be able to pitch there as someone who grew up and joined the game?
It means the world to me. I'll be able to, you know, pitch at my home state, Mississippi, and, you know, Starkville's only like 3.5 hours away from my house, so whenever I needed to come home or family needed to come see me, they were able to. I didn't have to travel across the nation to be able to play baseball. You know, I was very lucky on that end, but be able to play in my home state was everything to me.
And circling back to your time here, you're in a great rotation. And how much have you been able to learn as a young guy, as the youngest in the rotation experience-wise, from the others who have been through it before?
I learn more stuff every single day with these guys, man. They're doing an awesome job, you know, being able to welcome me in. And, you know, I look up to every single one of them. You know, the pitchers and the catchers and everybody out in the field and everything, you know. But the other four guys in rotation, you know, including Savali, I really look up to those guys, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to get tossed in there and be able to compete at the highest level of baseball. So,
well, it's been going well. Thanks a lot for coming by. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Connor Pilkington, who has been a real key filling in for Aaron Civale in the starting rotation. It doesn't seem like the rotation has missed a beat, quite frankly, and he keeps rolling right along as well. Stay with us when we come back. It's our final segment. We'll hear from Rob Serfolio, the minor league report. That's coming up next on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Progressive knows that most people don't get to experience making a game-winning touchdown or a walk-off home run. So we're going to talk to you like you did something great so you can bask in the glory.
No way. Is it really you? You're the one who bundled their home, auto, RV, and other vehicles with Progressive, right? Hold on. Let me grab my friends. Hey, guys, check it out. It's the one who saved the money.
If you can't bask in sports glory, at least you can bask in the glory of saving money when you bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus back with you for our final segment from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Each week we visit with Rob Serfolio, the Guardians Director of Player Development, and he was just up the road at Lake County recently with the High A Ball Club, and he talks about the convenience of having that team and really most of the system fairly close to the big league team here in Cleveland.
I think it's actually an advantage for us across all of our levels, for our players first, and then obviously for the group here in Cleveland to be able to provide resources, but Lake County, Akron, Columbus, three teams within a two-hour drive. So not only does it have its advantages at the AAA to major league level with a lot of transactions going on, but almost all of our high A players are actually living in downtown Cleveland or around the area. So opportunity to get to see some of the places to eat and waking up in certain apartments that they might stay at when they're a major leaguer. So I think there's some advantages for us in that sense to get accustomed to the city. And obviously, I love the fact that I can drive 20 minutes and go see some of our staff and players and have to make sure my wife's always all right with making the trips. But I think it just globally, it's a huge advantage for us. So,
and one of the young pitchers who's no longer there because of how well he had been doing is Gavin Williams, first-round pick a year ago. The numbers speak for themselves, but I know you look deeper than that when you're deciding when's the right time to move somebody. And what did he do to get that promotion to AA?
Yeah, I think you touched on one of the first parts of the equation, which is handling the competition. And Gavin came to us with electric stuff out of East Carolina. And we've continued to try and pull some additional levers to just refine what he already does really well and additionally try and amplify some of his secondary stuff on top of that. And he went out there and really absolutely dominated from a competition standpoint. But I think a lot of the things off the field, too, whenever you get a guy from the college ranks that goes really, I mean, we challenged them, sending them straight to high A, a little bit atypical of a route for some, but learning how to adapt to a pro routine of playing every day. And for him, pitching every 5 or 6 days, which is not what you do in college. So a lot of the routines and the consistency and taking care of his body. And we're certainly not at the finish line. That happens when we see guys out here in Cleveland and they're doing the types of thing that we saw Shane Bieber and other guys that have had a lot of success from an off-field standpoint. We've seen Gavin really kind of start to take ownership of some of those things. And that on top of really handling the competition level is a little bit of our framework for kind of knowing when we're ready for the next step. And so, like I said, we're not at the finish line yet, but it was cool to see Gavin continue to just get more and more exposure and do a lot of those things the right way.
A pitcher you tipped us off to, a kind of a sleeper guy early in the season who may not be anymore because of how well he has done, is Tanner Bibee. His last start, again, approaching the upper 90s with his hard stuff. What else is there besides just that? Everyone looks at the radar gun, but obviously to have success, you need more. And what's he doing to really pitch deep into games now?
Yeah, I mean, similar to Gavin, another guy that throws strikes and his arsenal when we got him had a lot of features and characteristics that we were excited about. And Tanner's a kid that from the second he got to us last summer after the draft, really was just all about getting better, learning about like the, you know, the minutiae of his delivery and how that impacts how the ball is coming out of his hand. And so I think he's really been open and receptive to coaching information. He had a lot of success as a college pitcher, and I think it's cool when you see guys come in that are looking to take that additional next step for development. Huge credit to our pitching group again. I mean, you'll hear that theme over and over with a lot of the guys. When you take as many pitchers as we did last year in the draft, they've done a tremendous job, and Tanner's a great example of this. He obviously can throw hard, like you said, but he can spin the baseball and really throw multiple secondary offerings that we think has a chance to handle both lefties and righties, and that on top of strike throwing. And he's a great competitor, and similar to Gavin, I mean, a guy that's doing the right things off the field that's going to lead to more and more opportunities. So another young pitcher we're really excited about.
Angel Martinez is one of the position players that I know you've been impressed with so far. And what's this infielder doing that's really had you optimistic?
Yeah, Angel, first off, great kid, super mature for a young 20, 21-year-old, I think, in high A. And he's been playing short, second, third. You'll see that's a common developmental approach that we take with our young infielders. One, because we have a lot of them, and we want to provide shortstop reps for as many guys as we possibly can. And we think it teaches them like versatility, different reads off the bat, different spins of the baseball, like different types of timing and plays that are required at all three of those. So to Angel's credit, he's bounced around and done a really good job continuing to progress on some of the throwing that we've been working on with him. And I think you look at his career line offensively, and he has hit everywhere he's gone, and he's continued to do that here in Lake County while also, you know, putting the bat on the baseball consistently. So a lot of hard contact, and he's hitting balls in productive angles, and I think that's why you're seeing him have some success that he is.
John Kenzie Noel is a familiar name from Major League Spring Training, had his first chance there for a little bit this spring. It seems like he's had some ups and downs in the first 2 months of the minor league season. And what's happening there with John Kenzie? How's he coming along?
Another guy that we're teaching versatility to. So I think third baseman, first baseman by trait. If you look at his last 2 weeks, he's actually played almost all outfield. So on top of him trying to perform offensively to like this ridiculous bar that he set last year in Lynchburg where he's hitting a home run almost every night, I think you've seen him against a tick more impressive competition night to night while also learning a new position. Kind of been like slow arrow up all year with him, and we're seeing more and more of like hard contact consistently. He obviously just has some of the best power in our entire system and in all of minor league baseball, and he's just continuing to get better and adjust to the level. And I think a guy that, similar to some of the pitchers we touched on, will likely see get challenged as the year goes on. And to his credit, learning a completely new position in the outfield, really for the first time in his career, he's come out there with a positive attitude and really just understands part of the why behind that. And again, huge credit to our group out there with Greg DiCenzo and the guys that are working with him every day. Just add a piece of versatility to his game because we know how exciting his bat is. And to John Kenzie's credit, he showed up with a good attitude and work ethic every day on top of that.
And another high-round draft pick recent is Petey Halpin. Yeah. And you were mentioning it maybe first time in his career, whether it's amateur or pro level, that he's had some tough times. And how's he dealing with that and getting better at the same time?
Yeah, so a high school kid that was a third rounder in the COVID draft in 2020. And you see this sometimes with kids that are as talented as Petey, where he obviously was one of the best players on every high school or travel team he's ever been on. And then last year in Lynchburg, despite being one of the youngest kids in the league, really did a good job and performed at a high level. And like we talked about this with Bo Naylor and some of the other young guys that we've challenged at a level that's probably one plus what you would typically see someone of his age level. And we're seeing Petey like go through some bumps in the road for the first time in his career, really, and chatting with him, you know, last week, just reassuring that we're working on the right things and he's going about his work in the right way, and we're excited and kind of just putting faith and trust into that. Over time, he keeps continuing to do the things that he's doing that we're going to see some of the fruits of those labor come through. So young kid in a level that not many are at his age that is working every day, and we feel like it's working on the right things, and we hope to see some of the production show through here in the second half of the season.
And we'll close with this. You've had the four full season teams going for a while now. You added more baseball. The rookie ball teams are going both in Arizona and in the Dominican Republic. How exciting has the first week there been as you see these guys on the field for the first time?
Really exciting. And, you know, we've got new staff members. So we got a new manager in Arizona who got his first win as a manager, and new hitting coach, and, you know, they're dumping water on the guys. And so it's fun in that sense. And like you said, just opportunity to add more baseball throughout the organization. I mean, these kids and staff have been really since the end of spring training continuing to play in more of like a practice game setting, and over the last month that's become a little bit more formal through extended spring training, and now they get to go out there and start their own season for 60 games over the next couple months. And so we have a ton of young, talented and exciting players that are now getting out there to go play five or six times a week and really get their feet wet for the first time as a professional. So really exciting, and I can't wait to get back down to the Dominican in August and in Arizona as well towards the back end of July. So exciting time whenever you can add three more games of baseball on top of the four full season affiliate groups. So
well, enjoy it. I know you do. And safe travels. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you for having me as always. Appreciate it.
That's Rob Serfolio, the Guardians Director of Player Development. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Guardians Weekly. Thanks, as always, to Brian Motze for his help in putting together our show. Until next week, when we join you from Los Angeles in Dodger Stadium, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Guardians Weekly has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.